Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Cosentino, and with me is Steve Williamson. And today's guest is Democratic pollster and strategist Celinda Lake. We promised our independent and Republican listeners a chance to get a little peek behind the curtain. I'm looking at the sneaky Democrats here, like ourselves. We'll discuss the strategy right in front of everybody. We're going to look at next year's election and some other things that Celinda has in store for us. Who is Celinda Lake? She's one of the Democratic Party's leading political strategists and pollsters. She has served as a tactician, a senior advisor to the national party committees. She's been involved with dozens of Democratic incumbents, challengers at all levels of the electoral process. Celinda and her firm are known for cutting-edge research on all kinds of issues, including the economy, healthcare, and the environment, education. She has worked for a number of institutions, including the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Governors Association, the White House Project, the AFL-CIO, Human Rights Campaign, and Emily's List, and the Kaiser Family Foundation. She has an extensive resume, but I want to get a lot of this in because it's pretty impressive. She co-authored a book, I think, we all ought to read, so at least I should read, What Women Really Want. She wrote that book with the Republican pollster Kellyanne Conway, and Catherine Whitney was also involved in the writing of that. She wrote it in 2005, and it examines the way women are changing the political landscape in America. Celinda is a native of Montana, up there in Brian Schweitzer country. She's also one of the world's most avid whitewater rafters. She has a master's degree in political science and survey research from the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. And Steve, what do we got going on?
Well, we're going to be talking to Celinda today about
Both what happened in the last couple of years, the last couple of elections, and her projections and ideas of what's going to be happening in the next year. 2012, one of the most important elections of our century. Of course, our century has not been very long, has it?
Not yet.
And we'll talk about, maybe we'll ask Celinda about, hello, Celinda, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Oh, great. Where are you calling from?
New York City.
And you're a native of Montana, huh?
I am.
Do you get back there often?
I do. I get back there a couple times a year. And I love being out west, so it's great to talk to you guys.
Well, last week we talked about letting our conservative and Republican listeners glance behind the curtain, and we're talking to a major Democratic and pollster and strategist. Mike's introduced you, told everybody all about you. Of course, your resume is 5 pages long, but Mike might talk for a while. Before we go on to next year's election, I guess one of the things that Democrats were so concerned about is, for example, how do we deal with the death panels charge. Here's something inserted into the health care bill. It's proposed originally by a conservative Southern Democrat. It just pays doctors a small fee for talking with folks about their choices at the end of life if they want to do it, and that metamorphoses into a death panel.
It was mystifying how they did that. Celinda, can you help us with that?
Well, there are a couple of things, I think. First of all, it's always easier to tear things down than build them up, and it's always easier to go on the attack. So I think it's kind of interesting that turnabout's fair play here, where we're being able to do, based on fact, though, in this case, the Ryan budget, and able to characterize that and the cuts in Medicare, the Republican-run budget, and
the mortgage
deduction and a number of other key components.
Big difference between the reality, you know, and like you said, the truth.
Well, and the other thing I think is that we allowed those charges to stand too long. I think what we should have done and what would have been important here is the minute that charge was issued to get on top of it and to think about ways to respond. I mean, think about if Michelle Obama had stood up and with him and said, you know, my mother lives in the White House with us. Do you think if there were a death panel in this bill, you know, he would be surviving coming home at night? I don't think so. I mean, there are ways to really respond to things, but we don't do that. And the Republicans are much, much better at characterizing things and getting on their message machine. And then they have a lot more vehicles, and that's why it's great to have a show like this, because we don't have as many news outlets to do this kind of conversation in as they do.
Yeah, we're trying to talk to people pretty directly here in northern Arizona and tell them what's going on, give them a Democratic perspective. We are who we are. But the health care bill in general got really banged around. I mean, here it is. It's extending coverage for millions and millions of people. And I know here in northern Arizona, a lot of people do not have good medical coverage. When it's offered by their companies, they can't afford it. It would take all their salary or a huge chunk of it. How did that get beat up as being about a government takeover when the bill made all kinds of room for the insurance companies to still be players, to still make their money, and so forth and so on?
Well, part of it is I think it was such a huge bill, and it was such a long process. I think it was a huge the process was a huge mistake, and I think it would have been much, much easier had the president introduced something and then moved it forward. It would have been much easier to say, for example, on the abortion attack, this bill has nothing to do with abortion. Go to the web, search my bill, you find the word abortion in it, you come and talk to me immediately. Call me on this 1-800 number. It's not in here.
Beautiful, simple and direct.
The sausage-making process doesn't lend and legislative process, and what may be good legislatively, process-wise, isn't good in terms of framing a message. But then I think, frankly, we weren't aggressive enough defining this bill early enough. And I think that's a mistake that hopefully we won't make in the future.
Let's ask you a sort of technical question that might interest folks. What's a wave election? I hear we've had two wave elections back-to-back.
Oh, really good question. Wave elections are elections where it doesn't matter so much about the individual candidate, that people are voting bigger issues and bigger forces, and it creates a wave. It means that, for example, in 2010, people's feelings about the president's job performance predicted a lot stronger to their vote than their feelings about their own individual member of Congress. And the same thing, actually, in 2006 as well. So wave elections are elections where people are trying to vote big changes or vote on a big issue, and individual members often get caught up in it, even when their voters may actually like the job that they're doing.
So they're finishing the work of one election with another, brother.
Well, it's an interesting way to put it, and in fact, the most common wave elections are the first midterms after a presidential election, because voters can't get at the president, so they take it out on the president's party. And that's been very common, Democrat or Republican. The interesting thing about 2012, it's unlikely to be a wave election just because people can vote one sentiment presidentially and another in their Senate races and another in their House race, harder to create a wave election. Now, the other thing that does happen, and you saw this in 2008, is that voters may be mobilized by a certain candidacy.
Right.
So 2008 wasn't so much a wave election, but it was an election where very different people turned out to vote, and that had real repercussions for who was elected down the ticket.
All those young people for Obama.
That's right, and you know, Latino voters and African Americans and unmarried voters, particularly unmarried women. I mean, there were lots of people who turned out in higher numbers.
There was a poll out this week showing that a trend toward moderates in Arizona. We had Ann Kirkpatrick here. I've heard Sandra Day O'Connor say similar things, that the state's been hijacked by political extremists, that Arizona isn't as extreme as our national reputation. And sure enough, this poll is showing that trend also. And we got a good segue here into the 2012 thing. So let's talk about the issues in 2012. Immigration, gun rights, jobs, education. What's going to drive the 2012 election?
Well, the 2012 election is going to be driven primarily by jobs and the economy. That is the dominant issue everywhere. And I think despite some progress, you're going to have to assume that voters are still going to, particularly blue-collar voters, still going to be voting on the economy. I think if Democrats do their job right, mm-hmm. they'll also be voting on the Republican budget, which has a lot of problems. And I hope that we stay focused on our message and the message of not getting Medicare, not cutting Social Security, not doing away with the home mortgage deduction, not keeping the taxes for the richest 1% of Americans while the rest of us see our burdens increase at the state and local level. So happily, I think that the contours of the election are already set. Obviously, in Arizona and elsewhere, immigration is a big issue. But I think a lot of the heat has diminished on that issue because the rate of immigration is down and what people are really focused on is the economy. And then in western states, guns are a core value. Coming from Montana, I was a marksman, and that is a core value for people, and I think it will continue to be a core value, but Democrats and Republicans out west support the Second Amendment.
I agree. We all like our things here in Arizona that go boom for sure. your governor was in Sedona, by the way, a couple of years ago. Brian Schweitzer?
That's right. He's a great governor.
Yeah, single guy with a dog. Is that? Did you have any?
Well, he's not single, but he does have his dog. And I think Montanans loved best the time when a New York Times reporter was traveling with him, and he threw the New York Times reporter out of his plane because he had to loosen the load, and he decided to take his dog instead of the reporter. And that kind of endeared him to Montanans forever.
There you go. Did you have anything to do with his election?
I worked on behalf of third parties that worked for him. But he is just, he's a terrific leader and good. Really gets how to define a Western message.
Celinda, what are your polls telling you when you poll on issues like jobs and so forth and so on? We talk pretty directly to folks here, particularly, for example, about the attempt to get rid of Medicare for folks under 55. How should Democrats, for our conservative listeners, how should Democrats talk about these issues? I mean, what happens is Republicans get elected, and then we get such extreme policies from them just right off the bat. They don't seem to wait around at all.
No, they've shown their true colors. Well, I think this is a special brand of Republican that got elected, and I think the voters are moving away from them, and I think they voted for them as change agents, but didn't really appreciate what some of their policies were. And you've got people in town halls across the country saying, you know, we didn't elect you to do this, and you never said you were for these policies. Now, in all fairness, many of them did. But I think the voters were voting for the economy, their frustration with the economy, and they were voting for change. And that meant that they didn't pay attention as much to the fine print. And now there's a lot of buyer's remorse out there. In the Midwest, for example, most of these conservative Republican governors would be recalled today if the voters had their choice. So,
a lot of let's get to the big question: who is it going to be in 2012 on the Republican side? Tim Pawlenty announced today, or so half announced, and Mitch Daniels pulled out.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, I'm not an expert in Republican primaries, but it's sure nice to watch them have the fight for once. I think one of their better candidates pulled out with Mitch Daniels and Huckabee. Those were two of the stronger candidates in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I think Romney has some real troubles getting through the primary because of his support for health care reform. And also out west, it's very controversial.
Thank
with
you,
born-again
Celinda.
Christians. Being a Mormon.
Thank you. Thank you, Celinda. We appreciate you being with us today. Sorry we've run out of time, but it's a short program. Next week, Mike will be doing a show on a Memorial Day show with American veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, we got a couple of local Iraqi and Afghan veterans. We're going to do some talking. And well, we'll talk. You know, is America a warrior race? We'll give the veterans a chance to talk a little bit. All right.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.